essence of soul and the victory of soul power over ordinary mentality. Now, in connection with our education, how do we apply soul powers? Do we give up reading and writing? No. The only thing is we use reading and writing to help to grow. Do we have to give up dreams and ideals and hopes? No. We just need to put the strength behind what is right so that it wins. Do we mean that we have to live and die poor? No. But we have to live and die in harmony with our own conscience. And if we decide in our conscience that our worldly goods are not honestly gained, then we must give them up. All of these things constitute the final step of the individual's coming of age. We say now, as the Egyptians said and many other people, that there is an age, approximately 21 years, that is the maturity of the human being physically. It is at this time that he is born out of the womb of the family, out of the womb of childhood, into this chilly air of self-discretion and determination. We know that at that time, around 21 years, there is a new birth in each person, in which he passes from the protection of the family to the full maturity of his own destiny. There should be some kind of a definite statement of what this means, that the individual, having reached maturity, is no longer to lean upon something else, but is to permit the weaker to lean upon him. Maturity represents the taking over of life with its integrities, with its proper responsibilities, that the individual who has been taken care of through childhood comes to his own burden and must take care of his own children, that the responsibilities come first, that the lavishness and the joys and the sorrows are second to the burdens of fact, that the realities must be met, that each individual must pay the price that has been paid to give him the right to be an individual. The sacrifices that others have made for him, he must be prepared to pay for. It is not possible to go on through life perpetuating one selfish generation after another. One by one, the selfish generations die of their own selfishness. And if there is nothing to succeed them, then nations die, races die, and planets may die. Because everything to live must be part of a chain of life that has no beginning and no end. The great chain of life, the great chain of destiny, goes on and on. And if it is broken, that which breaks it dies. For everything is here to improve. And anyone who impairs improvement destroys themselves. Anyone who tries to force his own will upon others unreasonably perishes for his audacity. And even the parent has a responsibility to the child. For the Bible says that we should not tempt our children to reproof and disloyalty. We should be able to help all things. For everything that exists is seeking its own maturity, seeking the fullness of its own existence. It is here in order that it may complete the reason for being here. And we should all help that in every way that we can, and do all that we can do to make it easier. Now, we might have to sacrifice things to do it. Supposing as a parent with small children, we should be forced to cut down the television time. Oh, that's a horrible possibility. The destiny of it all, that we will lose the next last ball game, or that we won't be able to check in the next episode of an interminable and inevitable sequence of events. All of this is foolishness. All of this is simply because we are lazy-minded, or else because we have no thoughts that are worth thinking, so we must borrow our thinking from the worst possible source, somebody else's thoughts. So we go on, trying to be happy, trying to do the little stupid things that will give us comfort and peace, trying to relax away from our burdens, trying to get away from facts. And if anyone can get far from facts in the average television performance, they're miracle workers in their own right. Because most of this material is more dismal than anyone could have happen to them in daily life in reality. So we have to begin to think in terms of investing in the things we believe in. We must invest in the children, and we won't have so many juvenile delinquents. We must invest in helping young people to fulfill themselves instead of casting them aside into the terrible trench of economy which will grind them to pieces. We have to make sure that the gentle, the kindly, the sweet, the good has its own proper opportunity. That these things are real, and that these are the things which must ultimately succeed. And it is better to fail now than to succeed in something that must ultimately fail entirely, to slightly paraphrase Woodrow Wilson. The definite problem is, therefore, in the 21st century, we should have something to send over there into the future. Young people with soul, young people with dedication, and also a simple plan, perhaps almost as simple as that of the old Indians. Just a rule that the thing, we must be kind, we must be true, we must be generous, and we must do all things for the common good and do unto others as we would have them do unto us. If this factor could be strengthened, we would find that civilization would rise supreme over its own iniquities, and its various fallacies would pass away like clouds upon a summer sky. So the Indian, I remember one of them, I remember very well. He was an older man. He was not going to have any descendant, probably. There was no one. But he just stood there with his blanket up around his neck and his black hair hanging on his shoulders. And he just stood looking to the west and just standing there. And we knew that inside himself, he was singing his death song. It wasn't going to be that day. He wasn't like one of those that had a cavalry bullet in his heart. But he knew he was going home. And that when he went home, he was taking with him the last of the will of his people. And he never found anyone much that he could pass this wisdom on to. No one really cared. These people thought he was just a crazy old savage, but he had his own way. But he could do something that most people can't do. He could face the Great Spirit and say, I've kept the rules. So if we keep the rules will keep us. If we do that which is right and what is necessary, we can make this change over into the future as a beautiful spiritual adventure. And we need it badly. And today in the papers there are new statements. There are new struggles between nations. And after thousands of years of human effort, we come now, in the 20th century, into an impasse. We come to an impasse because if we go any further, we will interfere with the divine plan. And that we will not do. Unless we change our ways, and the plan will have to change us. And this is going to be very hard and very difficult. And rather than hold out to the last bloody moment and trying to be as selfish as we can to the deadline, we join with the progresses of change. If we become part of a better way of life, we will find that it is much nicer for us. And also that we'll be much less worried. There are many beautiful things to do. There are many lovely jobs that need the doing. There are a number of lonely people who need help. We should do all we can to make this a better world to live in rather than a world to talk about. We are going to have bankers and we're going to have politicians and we're going to have all these people for a little while because they're all gradually fading out because of their lack of usefulness. But in the meantime, we can have a much better world by simply paying no attention to those who are not right, but working closely and dedicatedly with those who are right, trying to help them, trying to stand for the principles that we believe in. And whenever we are tempted to be selfish, stand strong like the old priest, medicine priest, and refuse to compromise the will of the Great Spirit. Also, this prisoners of the Great Spirit comes to us in one other way, and that is the concept of deity. Each nation of the world has a slightly different concept of the divine power of the source of life. Most of the belief of God as an omniscient and omnipresent power. Many think of deity as a parent. Many think of the deity as a principle. But they're all different interpretations of what deity is. But all agree on one thing, and that is what deity does. And deity keeps the rules. That which makes the rules is in itself the very rules themselves. And the great teachers of things have come to the conclusion that the Ten Commandments are about as good as anything we need, but we don't keep them. And that a nation should have no thought of these, or the Beatitudes, or the Sermon on the Mount. That these things are with us always in printed and written form, and we do not obey them, then something is wrong with us. Not long ago, a group was engaged to make a new translation of the Sermon on the Mount. And after a careful consideration, it was decided that the line, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth," was not inspired. And this is exactly where we are. That which is beautiful and noble and true is now listed as not inspired. Whereas to get what you can as quick as you can is now highly inspired. It is very noble. So here we go into further chaos. But I think it's nice to realize that watching the daily news and watching the motions of people and watching the new spirit arising among the nations of the earth, it looks like the old way is beginning to shine through again. The spirits are beginning to talk. The way spirit in the Manado, in the sachem's house on the top of the hill, is sending out more messengers. The time has come, out of the sorrow and misery of materialism, that a new idealism has to be born. And it is our privilege to come by and live with it now. We can make the changes in our own lives that we want to see civilization make in the future. We can do all the things that we hope others will do, and we can start right now. And in doing that, perhaps the wise old ones in the mountains will come to us. Many Indians do leave firmly even now that the Great Spirit still lives. And while they don't know just where it is and what it is and why it is, they know that somewhere in the great plan of things is infinite love, infinite good, and infinite beauty. That infinite patience is one of the virtues of God. And if we contribute as much as we can to these virtues in our personal lives, we will become more like God. And becoming like God, we'll come to know God. These are the thoughts of the day, and I hope they will be of interest to you. Thank you.